This is the Adam Carriker Show.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, eight-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everidge. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker who rips him down inside the 25-yard line.
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Here is your host, Adam Carriker.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome into the Adam Carriker Show. It's a glorious Tuesday afternoon. And you know what you're going to get. Unique insight, a bridled honesty, and producer Jake and I are going to have a whole lot of fun in the process. You're going to hear Husker sports, college football, sports in general. Loaded show. The fastest hour in radio is back. DeMarnay Pearsonell is going to join us at 12:25. Matt Rhule says it's okay to be positive. And there's a dad out there with a teenage daughter that I can sympathize with. It's a loaded hour, ladies and gentlemen. All right. Before we dive into hour one of the Adam Carriker Show, it's sponsored by Hamilton Telecommunications, bringing you the latest in quality technology and communication services since 1901. Learn more about their residential and business services at HamiltonTel.com. That's Hamilton. TEL.com. Also, Suizo Construction, where safety is not just a policy, it's a promise. Suizo is hiring skilled craftsmen, laborers, concrete workers, and steel erectors who value quality work and a team that has your back on and off the job site. Apply today at Suizo.com. 40 years strong in business, Suizo Construction. That's S-C-H-W-I-S-O-W.com. All right, Jake. Is it okay to be positive? Is it okay to have like a positive words come out of your mouth and a positive mindset? Is that allowed? Have Husker fans, you know, just play the clip. Just play the clip. We're just going to play the clip. Then we'll talk.
I don't want to force anything of it. Do you feel like the D-line took a step forward in this game?
Yeah, well, that's not forcing it. Just the negative things can't be like this. And then the positive things are like, well, I don't. It's okay to say something positive. They'll still subscribe and listen. I promise, guys. It's okay to be positive too. Right? I'm just teasing. You know I love you. No, but I agree with you completely. Like, I thought it was like, and again, I think I said earlier in the year, like, as you watch, as the season goes on, they will, like, you know, you can practice and practice and practice, but until you play in some games, you start seeing like, man, I can't get off a block. You know, we stopped the run, right? So that's a positive storyline, right? Like, this is a running football team, and we stopped the run and turn it into a drop back game. Now, credit to Childs, like, to two short fields, man, he made some plays running around that bother you. But on the one sack, like, the effort that Wanneri had, like, you know, he spun around three times to get the guy. Elijah Judy just keeps getting better in practice and pass rushing. So, I thought they made a real step and stopped the run and then turned into a passing game. I thought Wanneri was like special in the game. I thought McCullough was special in the game. I thought, you know, the inside guys. Then we got some like David Huffman gets in the game for the first time ever. He's playing well. So I think Terry and Phil Simpson are doing a good job with those guys.
So you hear that clip. You hear that clip, Jake. All right, ladies and gentlemen on the text line, feel free to text in. What's that number, Jake?
402-464-5685.
Thoughts on that clip? Your initial reaction, Jake?
I agree with it, too. I mean, the defensive line did play well. I think Williams Wanneri, it was part of the press conference yesterday, is kind of to watch his growth and kind of starting to figure it out and how much more he has to grow is going to be exciting over the next couple of years, and much less in the next couple of games, hopefully, as he continues that. So, you know, I think that the defensive line is coming along. I understand Sipp's resignation with it, though, too. I get it, the positivity behind it. But one game of not allowing 75-yard runs will not do to make me believe that they're, everything is fixed and that they have one of the best lines around, right? But I do think it was a positive step forward.
Well, quickly, as far as the defensive line, my whole takeaway from this was more about the it's okay to be positive deal. But as far as the defensive line, they actually absolutely played better. You know, my question with Williams Wanneri, incredibly talented, how long was it going to take him to get there? I was like, this is a dude who has first team all Big Ten type talent this year, right here, right now. And even beyond that, as he gets older, he's also a guy who could potentially not play for us much this year just because there's some development and growth that has to happen. And one of those big things is a lot of times a young player has to learn to play with their hair on fire, just absolutely relentless effort. I have watched people pass out in the middle of football games. I have watched people throw up and then put their hand in the dirt the very next play. Now, those are some extreme examples, but my point is I didn't know where he'd be with that. His effort is phenomenal. It is phenomenal. Now, he's still got more to learn mentally, but here's what I'll tell you right now. He's a freshman, so you would expect that. Number two, he's absurdly talented. You pair that with phenomenal effort. Congratulations on the well-earned black shirt. And I'm excited to see what he's going to do going forward. Two of the most physically talented players on the entire team are Williams Wanieri and Dawson McCullough, who he just mentioned right there. Okay, I'm just going to throw this out there. Can we put one on one edge and one on the other edge and just let him rush the quarterback every play? I mean, I'm just saying. Can we do this? Can we just line up and just let these two do their thing? Now, admittedly, they're, as far as defensive ends go, you'd have to mix it up a little bit. Just, they're not quite defensive end size, although Williams Wanieri is on the defensive line technically, but he moves all over the place. But my point was more about the positivity. And I get it. How many times have we lost a one-score game? I'm not going to talk about the numbers. Talked about those enough. It's been forever since we won 9 games, since we won 8 games. We finally won 7 games and had a winning season. It's all this stuff, and it's all these close games that we lose. I talked to, you know, the last time Maryland beat us was in 2023. The score is 13-10. I have nightmares about that score, Iowa, Maryland. Like, there's a reason Husker fans are a little bit trepidatious. It's not because they want to be negative. It's not because they don't love their team. It's because when you've been beaten down for so long, there becomes a certain level of expectation. And sometimes it can dictate your reaction when you expect certain things because you've been beaten down for so long. I think what we're saying is, it's okay. It's okay if something good happens. You don't have to go all in. You don't put all your chips to the middle just yet with your emotions. Just half of them. Just some of them. It's okay to be positive. Like I said before the season, I'm not going to react to every single game as much as I did in the past. I said that. For the most part, I think I've done a pretty good job. Part of that is, I'm just going to be honest, every game doesn't mean as much as it used to. It used to be, if you lost one game, you're probably out of the national title picture. Now, we're not in the national title picture, so to speak. I mean, mathematically we are, but in reality, we're not there yet. But my point is, you can lose more games and still achieve the same goals you used to. So for me, less games, the games don't become less exciting. The initial reaction doesn't have to be quite as much because I know there's another week and I know there's another game and there's another opportunity to beat a good team, another opportunity to make an improvement, another opportunity to get better, another opportunity to make a statement, starting with the very next game and then the very next game. And then if you win 3 games in a row, I'm going to sit here and tell you, don't you rest on your laurels. Don't you look in the mirror and think you're prettier than you are. You better keep busting your butt out there. It goes both ways. If somebody tells you how good and great and phenomenal you are, don't believe them. If somebody tells you you absolutely suck, don't believe them. I learned real quickly to ignore absurd and over-the-top negativity and absurd and over-the-top positivity because, number one, they're not real, and those same people will flip on you quicker than a hiccup. Number two, that's not where reality is anyways. Regardless of the person telling you and how they may or may not change, reality's somewhere in the middle. And reality can change based on what you do tomorrow and what you do the next day and what you do the next week and how much you can improve. And he talked about the D-line. He talked about we're going to have one of the best D-lines around before they'd ever put their hand in the dirt in a single practice before we had a spring practice. Not only had they not put pads on, half pads, they hadn't even put a jersey and a helmet on yet. And I was like, interesting. But to his point that he just said in that clip, you can't play games until you play games. In other words, you don't get the game reps until you get them. Maybe players that are good players, maybe sometimes they're not ready to be a very good player game one. Maybe it's game four. Maybe it's game seven. Maybe if you're a really young player, that 11th or 12th game of the year, you've heard announcers say in bowl games, they're no longer a freshman anymore. They've got a whole season under their belt. Maybe sometimes a good player, a good unit, isn't ready to be good right out the gate, but can get there. Maybe it's 4 games into the season. Maybe it's 8. Maybe it's 10. Now, I'm still in a wait-and-see mode. Okay? They dominated Michigan State's offensive line. They just dominated them. But one game, to Jake's point, is not a season make. But it's okay to be positive. It's okay to allow yourself to be like, hey, that went well. This next game, I might want to rip my hair out. But for now, that went well. And I think that's all he's saying. I will say, and it's a joke, He made a joke. They'll still subscribe. Like, people only want to hear negative. That's, I've mentioned it before. He said a thing in a press conference last January, February. You know, too much money's been made. People are profiting too much off of negativity and despair. No big deal. One passing comment in a middle of the winter press conference. And then he put out a tweet on Twitter on July or in June or July, the same thing. And I'm like, wait, that's two different platforms and months apart. This is clearly on your mind. So the one thing I would say is if you want positivity, stop referring to negativity. And nobody's ever made more money when Nebraska loses than when they win. Nobody has ever made more money when they lose than when they win. Especially not over time. You might get that initial reaction, but then people check out and they're gone. They're not interested anymore. I mean, we're not UCLA, but you know, we're not going to have eight people storm the field if we have a big time win. Husker fans are always going to sell that place out, but there's like what, hundreds of thousands, if not a million or two, Husker fans across the world. When I think about, again, I've lived all over the place, all over the place. Whether it was Hastings, Nebraska, Kennewick, Washington, Loveland, Colorado, Ashburn, Virginia, Dallas, Texas, Gulf Breeze, Florida, the DMV, anywhere. I always saw these same teams, these fan bases travel, regardless of geographic location. The Cowboys, the Packers, the Steelers, the Lakers, the Celtics, the Huskers, Notre Dame. There's probably Yankees, probably somebody else I'm missing. But those are the top eight that pop into my head. For Nebraska to be in that top eight, I didn't list a whole lot of college teams in there. Maybe North Carolina basketball. I wouldn't put Alabama football in there, not pre-Nick Saban. And I wouldn't even put North Carolina basketball in there anymore. Ever since, who was their coach?
Roy Williams.
Roy Williams hasn't been there. They haven't been the same. So there's eight teams. There's probably more, but there's eight that pop into my head. The fact that Nebraska is amongst those is phenomenal. If you want positivity from people, I would say don't consistently or sporadically or even more than once and twice over a span of time bring up the negativity, which I don't even blame people for because, you know, what's this rule's third season? The person in that football building who has anything to do with coaching has been here the longest is four seasons. You have not been here for this entire ride. Going all the way back to 99, to 01, to 09, to 2016. You haven't been here for all that. Thank goodness for you. I'm actually glad I have, because when we get back to winning at a level the Husker fans are happy about, it's going to be that much sweeter. But the main point was it's okay to be positive. It doesn't mean we're all of a sudden, you know, national championship contenders or watch out. It just means, hey, that was good. We did some good things. Our special teams is amongst the best in the country. Our defensive line played a lot better that game. Can they repeat it next week? You know, Maryland's really bad at running the ball, right? Their quarterback can run, but they're, I think, dead last in the Big Ten when it comes to rush offense as a team. They are. They're dead last. It said 18th when I looked this morning. It was 18 teams.
Yep.
No conference realignment. No Clemson, Florida State in our conference yet.
Okay. Not today, no.
So they suck at running the ball. Can we continue it versus the worst team that comes to running the ball in the entire Big Ten? I'd be happy if we can. Somebody's going to point out, they're terrible at running the ball. Okay, well, it's 2 weeks in a row they did something good if that happens. Our passing game is amongst the best in the country. Protecting the quarterback, not so much. Now, you can blame the quarterback. You can blame the O-line. You can blame the O-line coach. You can blame the wide receivers for not getting open. You can blame the play calls. The fact is it's a team and a unit sport, and they got to figure it out together because they're all in it together. But I think it's okay to be positive, especially on a Victory Tuesday, Jake. You got any thoughts? Right. What's the text line saying?
let's head to the text line here. Gus Mohawk says, I really like the defense. I feel like a lot of players are coming into their own. And how can you not vote for Singleton, Ajuko, Blackshirt, and Javon Wright, a legacy that has overcome so many hurdles, GBR? Dirty Tony and the boys says it's like potty training a three-year-old. Sometimes you got to be positive, even on the days that we failed. Except my three-year-old isn't making big money.
Dude, that's the best comparison I've ever heard in my life. Hey, text it. Am I allowed to use that? I'm not going to steal. I'm just going to use it if you allow me to in the future. I want to know anymore. That was great. It's like potty. Even when there's crap everywhere, sometimes you just got to celebrate. Go ahead.
6616 says our O-line and D-line are suspect at best. And then this comment here. Hi, Adam and Jake, if you have time and haven't already talked about it, love to hear your take on the Pro Football Focus grades, particularly on the offensive and defensive lines being they're not all that bad and some pretty good.
Okay. Let me know if he says I can use it. If he says no, I won't use it. I'm a man of honor, okay? All right, Pro Football Focus grade. Was there anything else? Was that pretty much?
That was it there.
All right. Have you seen these, by the way?
Yeah.
Did you see Gunnar Kutula was graded as the best right tackle in college football?
Yeah.
It also said he gave up no sacks. So I'm like, huh? Like, you can grade what you grade, but how do you... He gave up two. Like, I'm confused. So somebody did make a good point to me. When it comes to the NFL, which is what these grades started with, they have multiple people grading each game. It's relatively newer in college football. We could see grades last year, but not 2 years ago. Do you remember seeing them 2 years ago, Jake?
Like I don't know when it necessarily started, but yeah, it's been getting bigger over the last couple of years.
So the theory that was floated my way is maybe they only have one or two guys watching a college game. And those grades go up quick. So grades can be subjective based on the grader. That's why students get mad at teachers sometimes. But who gave up a sack and who got ran right by? I don't think that's subjective. So my point is, I think it may take some time. It's kind of like with the recruiting grades, like you're the 10th best quarterback in the country. When those things first started versus now, they're way more accurate now. Nobody bats 1,000. And you never know what a young man's really going to turn into. But as far as being about as accurate as you can be, they're pretty reliable now. Although if you look back 2 years to the top quarterbacks in the country, maybe don't use that as an example against me the year with Arch and Nico and all those guys. But there's always going to be outliers. My point is, I put a lot more stock into the NFL games and their Pro Football Focus grades than I do college football because it's so much newer. And I don't think they put as much stock into it, frankly, because it's newer. It's growing. It's evolving. There's going to be a learning process, and they're not making as much money off of it. It's not going to be a priority like the NFL to them, to Pro Football Focus. So, because I've talked about them. I've used them. But I'm like, how do you just flat out say this guy had zero sacks allowed when that is not the case? I'm not trying to pick on Gunner. That was just what popped. Like, I was like, oh, okay. So these things are subjective. I think they're still learning and growing with them. I'll be honest with you, I'm probably going to be a little less likely to use them going forward in the future if I'm just being really honest with you. Your thoughts, Jake?
Yeah, I mean, it's just interesting because I think that is what stood out for a lot of people, especially on Sunday, kind of looking over those grades. You know, initially, it was our offensive line's terrible. The next day, you're going, well, was it Dylan? People obviously have their own opinions. There's certain sacks that are a little bit more on Dylan. There's certain sacks that are on the offensive line. And when you say that, that's five guys, right? So, and it's tough to tell communication, all that sort of stuff. Tough to tell who the problem really is on, but you can see who is giving up the sacks or whose guy that they're trying to block that they can kind of get around there. One way or the other, I do think the Gunnar Kutula being named to the all PFF team of the week. And again, not to pick on Gunnar, but it's just that really a little bit devalues the system one way or the other, because this was not an offensive line that was particularly effective, right? I mean, the nicest way to say it.
Nicely put.
and so maybe individually one guy can have a great game. I get that. But when you as an offensive line gives up five sacks you didn't rush for over 100 yards, against a team that, by the way, a Michigan State team that hadn't had a sack against Power 4 opponents. Mm. Like, it's just like, something in here is not equaling best tackle of the week.
Hey, 2 + 2 = 6 if I say it does, okay? Not even 5. It can equal 100 if I wanted to. We've given up 12 sacks in our last two games combined. And Dylan was pressured on 80% of his dropback passes. So, again, everything kind of goes hand in hand. And grades are subjective. Here's the deal. It's not hard to figure out who gets beat for a sack, though. It's the guy trying to block him. If there's two, it's the guy who hit him first before the second guy came over. If a guy comes scot-free, it's the guy the defender was closest to that clearly just let him go by. It's not that hard to see who it was. And again, we're not trying to pick on anybody. I didn't know we were going to talk about this. That's why I love people sending in questions and their thoughts and comments and concerns and correcting us whenever Jake is wrong. I always appreciate that stuff. No reaction for that? Were you even listening?
I was reading the text line.
Is there anything else?
Well, just that Dirty Tony, the voice, said that he'll trade you the potty training example you can use for an autographed Husker item.
Sounds good.
There you go.
Hey, is there a way he can text you his info without it being public or some way, Jake?
Yeah.
Can you like DM you on Twitter, look you up, DM you on Twitter or something?
Oh, we got his number already.
Oh, you got, oh, okay, you'll reach out. Jake will reach out. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we come back. The last man, and there's a whole bunch of punt return stats that have happened for the first time since basically the last time this man returned punts for Nebraska. I'm not going to list all the stats because there's a few. Mr. DeMornay Pearsonell, Mr. You Don't Want to Punt to This Guy, DPE, will be joining us when we come back.
Hungry for something real?
This is the Adam Carriker Show on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Adam Carriker Show. All right. The show is brought to you by Mulberry Barbecue. They have two locations located at 11th Cornhusker and 61st and Apples Way, right off of Highway 2 by Lowe's. Both locations are open Monday through Saturday from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. Try their burnt-in sandwich, a brisket burrito, barbecue nachos, a full slab of ribs, half-smoked chicken, and much, much more. Plus, get incredible sides, get fueled for lunch today, or make dinner plans at Mulberry Barbecue, located at 11th and Cornhusker and 61st and Apples Way, just off of Highway 2 by Lowe's. All right. At this time, we want to bring on our special guest for today, a man who does a lot of stuff with the Ticket as well. But when during his time with Nebraska, a second team All-American, freshman All-American, 2014 Jet Award Punt Returner of the Year Award winner, I should say. One of the best to ever do it when it comes to returning kicks, punts, and catching that ball as well. Mr. DeMornay Pearsonell, how you doing, my friend?
Doing well, and yourself?
Dude, life is good. I appreciate you taking the time. So let's talk about Ja'Cory Barney and returning kicks. We have struggled for so long to do anything returning kicks wise, other than, I mean, obviously Ja'Cory's explosive. He refuses to be tackled as much as possible. But what are some of the other differences that you see? Why we've been so much better at returning kicks this year?
I think coach has done an excellent job of picking the right personnel, the right type of guys that, you know, embody the right mentality. You know, the selflessness to get a job done. It's the 10 guys in front of them. It's just not, you know, Ja'Cory back there catching it. It's guys having, you know, the passion to not let their guy be the guy that, one, tackle him, the first guy to tackle him, two, you know, get beat by the guy. And even if they do get beat, you know, they strain and make it difficult and a nuisance for, you know, that guy to make the tackle. So I think it's coach identifying, you know, the right people with the right kind of mindset, effort to be out there to make the unit go.
So when you watch Ja'Cory on his returns, obviously he's dynamic and explosive, but as a guy who used to do this yourself, what are some of the, are there some little things that you watch for, that you look for, like, oh, this dude's going to be really good before he ever actually does anything in a game? Because I can do something similar when it comes to watching guys get after the quarterback. What are some of the things us as fans should be watching for, you can help us out with?
I mean, first, when he gets out there, I mean, making sure that the right personnel is out there. You don't, you know, penalties are drive killers. You know, with how good our defense is playing, you know, we're pinning people back deep, and he has a chance to return. So him getting out there, getting lined up, being at the right, you know, line the right measurement back. He has a jump on where the ball is gonna as good as gonna be at. After that, you know, if he looks out at the return unit, he looks to see who's the most threat multiple times. And that's not an easy skill, to look down, look up, look down again, and then find the ball and still be able to catch it and return. He does that, you know, really, really well. He's catching the ball confident, high. He has his first and second move that he wants to do. He's catching the ball with his feet up under him instead of, you know, catching it really wide or catching it going back. He always seems to catch the ball in the right position with, like, you know, leaning forward to where he doesn't have to take a false step or anything like that. And that's not an easy skill to have. But I mean, he tracks the ball well. He's in the right position. The coaches at practice, I mean, have instilled that, and he's got that down to where that's more natural, and he's comfortable doing that.
Special teams always is fascinating for a lot of people, especially you look from the outside. There's all these athletes that, you know, on every team, you think, okay, well, this guy can make a dynamic punt returner, or this guy could. And very rarely is it the case. It's a special skill. I remember interviewing you on the station, actually, when you were in high school, coming into Nebraska, and you said, don't punt to me. So you knew at a very early age, of course, you were doing that in high school. How early was it for you, and can you tell with, you know, kind of other punt returners that they have it?
I think I knew at an early age. I mean, people that are around our high school area, you know, they knew punt return, kick return, just don't even put it in the vicinity. You know, that was a way to change the game and give a spark, just bring something different. And I think for people to know, the returner to know, it's a confidence thing. You going out there believing that you know, you can make a difference. I mean, he's had big returns. You know, he knew sooner or later he's going to get a touchdown. I think he's going to get in the end zone a couple more times this year and everything like that. But having that fact and that fearlessness and the awareness of it to where, you know, it doesn't bother you. You know, you got 11 people or 10 people, I mean, outside of the punter coming at you that can take your head off. And you looking, you know, up in the sky for a ball. You know, it kind of takes, you know, for you to have a couple screws loose to do that itself, and then to be good at it, you know, you have a few more loose. So I think definitely just athletes having the ability and the belief in themselves actually gives them, you know, an edge.
So I've been told punts are, you know, I didn't get a lot of opportunities to return punts in my day for whatever reason. I feel picked on. I'm just saying. By the way, I didn't know you'd been here that long, Jake. That's pretty impressive. Yeah. You've been at the station that long.
Yeah, it's been a while.
How long have you been here?
2013.
Dude, that's phenomenal. I've been told, though, that returning punts, what the ball does in the air, is a lot harder than end over end, like trying to catch a kickoff return ball. Is it really that big a difference? Is it that much harder?
Absolutely. Especially if you have wind, you know, depending on how the wind is going, it can affect the point of the ball. You know, if the point of the ball is still going up, you know, like the ball is still sailing. You know, if the point of the ball is straight down, you know, it's probably going to be a yard or two short from where you're at. And if it's kind of in between, in the middle, and everything like that, you can guess it'll be not. It won't sail, but it'll come down quick. So identifying how the ball is in the air will let you know if, okay, this ball is sailing. I need to, you know, go back a few steps and kind of get to my angle, or if the ball is straight down, okay, this ball is going to be short and coming up and fielding it and making sure, you know, your elbows are tight. So that's definitely a key component of it.
So the fair catch thing, it's easy for me and Jake to sit here and say, oh man, they shouldn't be able to fair catch a kickoff at the 15 yard line and get it at the 25. What are your thoughts on this? Because obviously you've got a little bit more experience in this department.
I think this is where, you know, the statistical stat people, all the stats say this, the stats say that. And I think a lot of teams are getting, you know, away from that. I don't like it because, I mean, returning is a part of the game. Even, you know, at the NFL level, it's a job. You playing at the next level, you know, 53-man roster specialist is a position to be carved out. So, you know, the game, they want the game to be excited and everything like that. Well, returns is a part of that. And I think, you know, if they can continue to have that in there instead of, you know, letting it go. And I understand being at the 25 and everything like that, but when you have dynamic guys back there that can, you know, open the game up, you know, DeSean Jackson, what he did, you know, with the Eagles, you know, to the Giants, you know, with even Honey Badger, what he was doing on returns and everything like that, you know, it gives energy to the team. Winning three phases of the game, if you win two phases of the game, you know, more than likely you should be able to pull it out. If you dominate in all three, you know, then you're punishing teams. So I think it's not a lost aspect, but it's kind of one of those things people don't like. It's like the toppings instead of, you know, a necessity to come with things.
Dude, the Honey Badger, Tyler Matthew at LSU was something special. The,
man.
The what was that? The miracle in the Meadowlands. Weren't the Eagles down by like 21 in the fourth quarter to New York or something like that? I remember something I was getting like off that. The – what was it?
I said something like that. All right.
I remember I was getting off the bus. We had finished our game before there at the Skins, and we were getting ready to go on the plane. And I was like, holy cow, what is going on in the Meadowlands? And that was Michael Vick's second tenure in the NFL. He was with the Eagles. That was crazy. I remember I interviewed Johnny Rogers. This interview was like 8-9 years ago, and I asked him about fair catches. He said he refused to do it. Now, again, that's easier for a guy like me to say, but you, Johnny, you guys have done it. He's like, I refuse to fair catch. It's like a point of pride. I always say the defensive player is a little bit crazy. You kind of just said returners are a little bit crazy. You got to be wired a little bit differently. I love all that. Dude, I wonder in today's NFL, if Devin Hester were around, would Devin Hester have been able to be Devin Hester? That's something I wonder. So what are your thoughts on that?
Absolutely. I mean, he is easily on the Mount Rushmore, you know, of returners. People tried their best to kick it away from him. He would make it look easy. It wouldn't be the same with how things are, especially with, you know, people and them not hitting as hard and how this line is, how the two lines are in the NFL and everything like that. Devin Hester is going to run at an angle, push people a certain way, make one cut, and he's gone.
Now, DeMorne, I think kind of jumping back to the Huskers real quick, because I think it is interesting in the difference between the kick return and the punt return is that people see the success that Ja'Cory Barney's having as a punt return and might think, well, why isn't he back there to return kicks?
Good question.
What kind of goes on? Is there different skills? Is it too much of a workload? What do you kind of how would you break that down?
I would probably assess it as did they want to give him a break? at some point it's hard to not have him on the field, you know, and two tight end set, he's probably the second receiver out there typically. And you don't want him off the field. So you got to find, you know, ways to kind of rest him a little bit and not take, you know, maybe unnecessary hits, you know, especially, the saying in the NFL, they typically have running backs, you know, back there because they're more familiar or running through holes that, you know, close fast and open it is more of their skill set, or it comes a little bit more natural with them. A guy like that, I think it's just more so of a protection thing. Not that he can't do it.
It's interesting. Key mentioned running backs because Kenneth Williams has been back there a lot. He's our fastest running back that we have when you think about just top end speed. So I'm kind of waiting for him to pop off one of these and take it to the house one of these days. Before we let you go, man, let people know your show on the ticket. What day is it? What time is it? Where can they find it? How can they listen to you?
Monday through Thursday, live typically in the studio, typically at 8 o'clock, 8 to 9. I think Wednesdays we might move it to 7 to 8, but typically 8 to 9. And you can catch me talking about anything sports related, from boxing to water polo. We have a real fun show, you know.
Dude, I want you to bring me on sometime, and we're only going to talk water polo. How's that sound?
Okay, that's fine with me. You know, you're an athlete. I think, you know, you getting in the water, that'd be an interesting sight to see.
Yeah, I don't float as well as I think I should, but that's okay. Thanks for joining us. All right, don't go anywhere, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back.
This just in, hot off the bench.
Boom! Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Adam Carriker Show here on 93.7 The Ticket. I had a dad clip that I had sent to Jake. Apparently, I didn't send it to Jake, so we can't run it. I will see if I can find that. We will work on that. But in the meantime, a couple of things to chat about before we do. As a former Husker and NFL player, bit of a health nut. Hydration and recovery start at home, ladies and gentlemen. That's why we've teamed up with Culligan of Lincoln. Soft water means better showers, cleaner dishes, and it protects my water heater and appliances. The high-efficiency softener cuts salt and water usage. For drinking, add a Culligan Reverse Osmosis bottled quality water right at your tap. Get great taste, and it's certified to reduce tough contaminants like lead and PFAS. Right now, get up to $300 off a whole home system or $9.95 a month for your first 3 months. Schedule your free water test at CulliganHuskers.com. That's CulliganHuskers.com. Culligan of Lincoln, water you love, go Big Red. All right, is there anything off the text line real quick at all, Jake?
There's a few things here. One from 5769 is worried about one aspect of Barney. He said he's really tough, but he's worried that he's one big hit away from injury.
A little smaller. Yeah. Okay. He's a younger guy, got years in the weight room ahead of him. That's okay. A couple of things on that. Number one, it's a fair concern. Number two, he's clearly our best receiver, our best return weapon right now, so he's valuable to the team. You always, you want those guys to, you want everybody to stay healthy, but especially you want those guys to stay healthy, especially if they're doing a lot of the things that he's doing. So that's all valid. That's all fair. And I think that's one of the things that DeMarte brought up. You know, maybe load management, why he's not doing the kickoff returns. Now, there's a lot more fair catches. We discussed the fair catches. I won't go into that. My point is, when you actually return the punt, there's a possibility of a big hit. But usually if it's not right away, like right as you catch the ball and they don't do fair catch or kick catch interference, usually once you get going, there's not a ton of big hits in punt returns. Kickoff returns is different. There tends to be a lot more big hits in kickoff returns, which is one of the reasons they added the fair catch rule anywhere on the field. And then you could get it at the 25, was to limit the big hits because they're going to pretend that they care about player safety. It's really just a business tactic. I get it. I respect it. I also respect truth and honesty, but that's just my take. My point is simply this. I understand it. I understand random people pointing at me. Colorful backpack that guy had on, but he was very friendly, very smiley. Hello, my dude. I hope you're listening. All right. I also understand load management. Plus, like seriously, Kenneth Williams, if this dude gets loose, he's fast. Hopefully we see that at some point. I do like Jacory in the role he's in. I like the load that they're managing him with. I think I said that right. Because I think it's something that is sustainable. Anything can happen. Obviously, we know that. We want everyone to stay healthy. But I like what they're doing so far. What say you, Jake?
Yeah. I think you can't play, that's going to be a concern with any of the smaller players. He is incredible. I mean, it's going to continue to be a concern because he's incredible at getting open. But a lot of time there's a very small window there, and then he's going to get smacked. So hopefully he's able to stay healthy. He has taken some hits over the year, over the last 2 years. But also kind of thinking through as well as the question I asked DeMarne was the difference kind of a kick returner and a punt returner, and he talked about the kind of the running backs being that part of it, and obviously you think of top end speed and kind of making one cut, and that's kind of what I was kind of thinking. The difference too is it's just that a punt returner, you're likely going to have to break or shake some tackles, and in kick returner you don't see that as much. You're not going to break four tackles and eventually have this long kick return. The other part of that, and the aspect of that that's interesting, is the teams that are chasing you, right? The punt return has a lot of punt protect players out there. Kickoff team does not. I mean, it's not a bunch of it's linebackers and safeties coming at you. So I think that's a little bit of an interesting way to look at it too.
That is an interesting way of looking at it. And kind of what you just said, what DeMarne said, like kick returns, it tends to be a lot more straight line downhill, where it tends to be more juking and whatever and punting and reversing a field, so to speak. Hence why running backs sometimes feel it's a little bit more akin to what they do in their position group. All right, we're gonna finish today's show with some more positivity, and it's all true, which makes it even better. Shout out to Deshaun Singleton. You probably know this by now, but defensive player of the week in the Big Ten. All right, he led a Nebraska defense to produce 3 takeaways, and he had 2 of the 3 takeaways with 2 interceptions in the win versus Michigan State. I think he's been our best defensive player all year, if you just ask my personal opinion. All right, he became the first Husker to record a pair of interceptions in a game since 2023, added 6 tackles as Nebraska limited Michigan State to just 240 yards, including 84 yards rushing. Not to nitpick, but every side I looked at said 86, but tomato, tomato. All right, here, the last Nebraska defensive player of the week honoree, do you know who it was?
No.
How about this? He's been interviewed. I'm totally going to get away with this because you know the answer to this. He's been interviewed here, and his interview kind of went buck wild after it was posted. Now you feel bad because you're not going to get it,
yeah,
are you?
Yeah, no, I do feel bad.
That's okay. It's not your fault. JoJo Doman, October 4th, 2021.
That long ago. Wow.
Yeah. We're keeping this positive bad news.
Well, sorry, yeah.
Gosh dang it.
I wouldn't have thought back to 2021 myself.
I guess I ruined it because I made it a thing. My bad. It's supposed to be positive. Great job, Deshaun. Again, I think he's been, he was gone and they brought him back. Remember that? He was training for the NFL, for the combine.
Thank Diego Pavia.
Yes. You know, Vanderbilt played Alabama a lot closer than I thought they would. What was it, 30-14 was the final? The game was actually closer than that score. It was tied at 14 for a long time. So shout out to Vanderbilt. Diego Pavia played well. All right, couple more things. And I quote, "I truly believe in what we're building here, and I want to be a part of that and be able to look back in 40 years and hopefully play a small part in a big resurgence," end quote. Heinrich Harburg. You surprised at all by that? That he would say something like that?
No. That sounds about like he's done over the years. And he's, I mean, as we all know, kind of sacrificed his own forward trajectory at times for the team.
Let me just throw this out there and just stick with me. If we were like in the national championship conversation, because he's very similar to Behringer. Do you think he might be looked at in a similar light if we were in that national championship conversation, the way he's been willing to move position? He started as a sophomore, won 5 games, backup, didn't play much last year, completely moved positions, did not transfer. Sound familiar? Behringer didn't move positions, but you get my point. Would he be looked at somewhat similarly to Behringer if we were in that type of a national title conversation, like the 95 team obviously was and won?
I mean, maybe a part of it. I mean, again, it's hard to get into that conversation because Behringer literally played in national title games, and so you know there's a little bit more of a history behind that. So maybe you know if he had to fill in on you know quarterback for a few series or something like that, then absolutely, I think he would be. It still amazes me. You know what? It's not just the fact that he hasn't transferred. It's the fact he hasn't transferred in this era. Like 10 years ago, Jamal Turner, you know, a guy like that. You know, in this era, I'm not saying he would, but it would be hard not for guys to transfer, especially with the amount of money quarterbacks are being paid. You've got, what, 5 wins, 3 Big Ten ones under your belt. I just feel like, you know, if he was a selfish guy, or even if he just wanted to play quarterback, he could have made some money elsewhere.
My big takeaway, he called everybody who enters the transfer portal selfish, and we're going to move on. That's my big takeaway. No, I'm just kidding. No, it's props to Harburg. So, all right. More positivity, and it's all true. Husker sports as a whole and academia as a whole are doing really well at Nebraska. All right, as we know, volleyball, number one in the country. Man, I figured they would beat Penn State, maybe even sweep them. Wasn't it 25-6 was the first set? Like, that was, that was domination. All right. Women's basketball is anticipated to be preseason ranked somewhere between 15th and 20th. Wrestling is preseason ranked number 2 in the country, by the way, where they finished last year. Bowling, preseason number 2. Can I be honest? I was a little disappointed. I'm like, oh, they're not preseason number 1. Like, that's how high the expectations are for our bowling team, by the way. And speaking of academia, 540 total student athletes. And the GPA, the average GPA is 3.42.
Wow.
That's amazing. I got to be honest. I had to like, did I type that right? Did I read that right? I had to like double check that. That's phenomenal. All right, ladies and gentlemen, have a glorious Tuesday. I'll see you fine folks on Thursday. Keep the positivity going, Bad News Bach. Can you do that for me?
I can try.
All right. Go Big Red Nose. Remember to throw the bone.